it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and joining me today, a returning guest and one of my favourites to speak to, documentary filmmaker and now podcast host of his own show, The UFO Review. Welcome back, Darcy Weir. Darcy, how are you?
I'm good, thanks Andy.
Good to have you on, and congratulations, first and foremost. Since we last spoke, you've become a father. So how has life been? How's it changed?
It's been a wild ride, but every day you wake up and you see his smiling face. He's a happy, healthy little guy, and I'm just blessed. So I'm happy, but I'm tired, and my back hurts. But other than that, you know?
Yeah. I'm there with you, Darcy. I'm always tired. It's the old Hulk, how do you stay so calm? Just, he's always angry. I think when you're a parent, the parents out there will know you're always tired, and that doesn't go away, I don't think. So, look, I've been meaning to get you on now for some time. Life gets in the way. You've been busy. I've been busy. And I want to talk about one of your documentaries that's been out not too long ago, Dark Alliance, the Inside Story of the Cosmic Con. I watched this on a long train ride a couple of months ago now. Really enjoyed it. Really interesting story. And we're going to get into that, including your thoughts on some other work you've done since. And, of course, I want to get your thoughts on some media projects coming up from other individuals out there. It's a bit of a crazy time in the UFO topic. Darcy, you've been on a few times. If folks want to know all about you in detail, I suggest to go back and check out some of those previous episodes, but give us the short abridged version of who is Darcy Weir and what does he do?
Yeah, I am just a content creator, a filmmaker, and I've produced over 20 feature-length and docu-series films at this point in my career. Most of them are on Amazon Prime, Tubi TV, Apple TV. A lot of them are there for free to watch, and many of them are focusing on the UFO phenomenon, UAPs, aliens, abduction, psychic phenomenon, you know, all that sort of stuff. Let's just say I am really interested in the fringe theories in our society in the West. And, you know, I've seen UFOs in my time. At least I wasn't able to identify them. And, you know, I'm open to all this stuff being real. But my most recent work, which you already mentioned at the starting of the show, is examining some of the darker sides of our community and for lack of a better word, the seedier and nefarious sides where people are being kind of exploited and stories are being told that are not true. So I think the whole secret space program arena is full of that stuff. And I think if we did have a secret space program, you would want to flood the zone with a lot of disinformation and malarkey.
Yeah, I think when it comes to this topic, there are things for me that I believe without question. We are not alone. People have had experiences. There are incredible things in our skies, under the water and in space being seen by your average everyday Joe, but also your governments, your private contractors and various agencies like that around the world. You then, I think, go into various different territories. You can spider diagram it. Where does this conversation go? And it could be remote viewing. It could be, you know, it can be ghosts, which are linked in, Bigfoot. And like you say, things like the secret space program we have talked about on other shows. And then you have individuals who come in and it becomes about them and their story. You can name Bob Lazar perhaps as the most famous individual. I think the general public know about Bob Lazar. I was speaking to someone today who is not a UFO person, shall we say, in the slightest. And I mentioned the name Bob Lazar. And they were like, I know who Bob Lazar is. He's a name. He's a brand almost in that sense. You get folks, though, like Corey Good. And we're going to talk about Corey Good, David Wilcock. These individuals who you are big features in Dark Alliance, inside story of the Cosmic Con. So we'll talk about that for a little while too. It's fascinating to watch, and I wonder what got you wanting to focus in on characters like this?
Yeah, I think when I first entered this community and was telling stories about this visually, I was head over heels, just completely immersed in a lot of BS. And I believed everything, right? I was probably going through a moment of psychosis in my life. And that's not good, right? I think I'm able to look back on that time of my life and say, well, I'm glad I'm here now and I know better, right? And this type of documentary storytelling that I'm doing now is, it comes from the heart, because I don't want people to go down a path where they get lost forever, right? Or they are deceived and they follow that deception to their end. So, you know, look, to be honest, Corey Good and David Wilcock were on my radar from the start. Because the very first documentary I ever produced, I just put it up for free online in 2012 on my YouTube channel, which I still have. It was a really crude version that I originally released with my friend Lee Lustig, and it was called The Underground, about deep underground military base theory and Phil Schneider. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's things that aren't fully true about that, right? We know now that Phil Schneider lost his fingers younger than when he said, not in a alien firefight at an underground base, right? Yep. That we had pictures of him without the fingers earlier. So, but I think those types of stories captivate people. They're like, what if, and it just, it pulls them in, sucks them in. It takes them out of their life that they're living. And Corey Good and the whole Secret Space program mirrors that sort of storytelling, because it's like, forget about the what if, are there aliens? There are aliens. I've met them. I've been in space battles on behalf of mankind, saved the world, you know, been on Mars, fought with reptilians, like all of this stuff that people are blown away by, right? It's very heroic. Yeah. Some of it has a bit of that stolen valor element, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's all these people that kind of encircle him that are part of that entertainment media complex that Gaia TV really started. Let's be honest, like Gaia TV is a launch pad for a lot of this type of stuff.
Yeah.
If you go back, it's there. And, you know, I was very fortunate to, in the making of this documentary, The Cosmic Con, I got to get a bunch of on-set stuff from Gaia TV that this guy, Kabir, who no longer worked there, but kept all this footage and pictures mm-hmm. on his phone because it was his personal device, I was able to license that from him and create the documentaries with it. You know, but
let's start, Darcy. Do me a favor, because there's going to be folks listening to this and watching this who are very familiar with Corey Good and David Wilcock, and they are two big protagonists here. Who are those characters, and what brought them into ufology for anyone unfamiliar?
Yeah, it's a complex story, but the very sum of it all is they're entertainers that got their start, a big start on Gaia TV, which is an entertainment network that does a little bit of everything. They do some sort of alternative health stuff, yoga, but then they have the whole, they have a huge woo crowd that follows the Secret Space program, the Nazca mummies. They launched the Nazca mummies, you know, which is a huge, very controversial thing. There's so many people that are like, are these fake? I don't know, because Gaia TV platformed them and they seem to be scientists saying they're real, right? They tend to platform these types of ideas. Corey got his start on Project Avalon and Project Camelot, which are like the 4chan of conspiracy chat forums. Mm-hmm. And Kerry Cassidy, Bill Ryan, they were kind of like the precursor to Gaia taking off and becoming really popular.
Yeah.
I got my start following stuff that they were putting out there. That was when I was at the most unstable part of my life, let's say. And I'm still friends with Kerry today because I've licensed some stuff for my docs. But she was interested in the Corey Good story, and he started popping up in all of these chats, starting mm-hmm. these chat forums about his story and so on and so forth. David Wilcock heard about this because he has his own Divine Cosmos website and was very tight with Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy at the time. You could see that in the documentary. He was looking for whistleblowers. And because he had this show called Disclosure mm-hmm. on Gaia TV, and it had kind of run its course with producer Jay Widener putting that whole thing together for him. David was looking for a new show. He was looking for something more bombastic and big in the UFO arena. And he brought Corey Good into Gaia TV, and they started Cosmic Disclosure. And that led to Gaia TV's, you know, most popular show to date. That made them huge celebrities, because Gaia TV is also throwing millions at marketing through search engine optimization and, you know, putting Cosmic Disclosure on the front page of their streaming network, which has mm-hmm. over 600,000 subscribers per year.
They make big money. I was surprised at that when I watched the documentary, some of the numbers that were involved in the money they rake in.
They at their time, they were like rich people, especially given, you know, what they were doing, which is just telling stories, right?
Yeah.
I wish sometimes I completely sold out and just told lies for profit. But, you know, fast forward, these gentlemen had a fallout with Gaia because they said, well, we deserve more. Like, we are your all-time biggest stars.
Yeah.
Your platform's at an all-time high. We want shares of the company. We want this. We want that. It didn't go in their favor because the CEO is a smart man. And he basically didn't negotiate with terrorists, I guess. So he just said no in a nice way. They departed Gaia. And at that point, they started a, let's say, gossip war online against them to defame the platform. And then they were trying to start their own streaming platform separately, which didn't work out because usually the next thing they did is they started massive legal battles with, you know, Jirka, the CEO of Gaia, Kristen, the vice president. They sued Jay Widener, the former head of production, who we have in the documentary, and he gives all his testimony, and multiple other people that basically were just saying they didn't agree or trust the Corey Good story. And, you know, we live in the world of freedom of speech. You shouldn't weaponize the legal system just because, you know, you don't agree with somebody's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
That's what was happening.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And you touched on it before, but can you just expand a little bit on the Cody Good story, the whole 20 and back program, and what really was it about his particular story that propelled mm-hmm. him into this kind of mega stardom amongst a corner of the UFO community?
Right. So it has so many elements that we already kind of hear about in conspiracy land built into this mega conspiracy hero character. Mm-hmm. The first thing you hear about, which we all know is kind of true, is this sort of seedy pedophile, like leadership and nefarious Illuminati group of the world. He was brought into, at a very young age, basically this secret space program. And yeah. he would talk about being put through all this training and, you know, becoming a super soldier kind of character at a very young age. And then he went into space eventually as a young adult, and he lived for 20 years doing space missions on behalf of Earth as this, you know, Buck Rogers kind of character.
He was almost like drafted for 20 years, wasn't he? Like, and then, yeah. but it's not 20 years. You don't come back. It's, yeah. It's...
Yeah. So it's called 20 and back is his whole story. Because you go for 20 years and then they have technology to put you back into your original body as a young adult when they took you, and then you can live a normal life. It's kind of like the Last Starfighter mixed with Total Recall, you know, yeah. those two sci-fi movies. All this stuff was kind of in sci-fi to begin with, and it was kind of interesting to see somebody write that mythos about themselves and then say this is real, right? Mm-hmm. So that became super popular. And then after the first season, they invited Corey to do two more seasons at Gaia. So then he said, well, no, I didn't go for just 20 years. I went for another 20 years and then another 20 years. So he did 60 combined years in the future and then was age regressed to his original self that's living this boring life, telling the story on Gaia TV. You know what I mean? Like, just yeah. the thing is, there's no proof. There's literally no documents that can prove his testimony, no pictures, no videos, nobody except for other people that work for Gaia TV as entertainers in this arena that could confirm his story. Because they go, oh, well, I was also in the 20 and back. There's a guy named Andrew Basiago, who was famously on Truth TV's Jesse Ventura's conspiracy mm-hmm. TV show. And they met with this man. He said, I fought on Mars in this secret space program. I went through a jump room in Los Angeles in this business building here, which is an elevator, goes down here, but arrives in Mars. Mm-hmm. And I fought with Barack Obama. So that was like another person that could confirm the secret space program. And yes, Corey Good's telling the truth, you know? So what would happen was UFO conferences, when these guys were at their prominence, would elevate these people and present them as telling the truth as like the headline speaker. So yeah. you had Contact in the Desert, you had, you know, MUFON conferences that were hosting him, all kinds of stuff, because they were the really popular and interesting guys mm-hmm. at the time.
They sold tickets.
Exactly. And You know, at the start you said, like, why did you decide to cover this? I thought it's such an interesting story because back then, even when he first hit the scene, 2015-16, I was like, this is like really weird and out there. Like, yeah, I believe there's UFOs. Yeah, I believe there could be a non-human intelligence interfacing from many different, backgrounds possibly on our planet. I'm open to the idea of that. And there's lots of cases that prove something has happened, you know? Westall 66, the Iran 1976 Tehran incursion with the, fighter jets there and so on and so forth. There's so many things that have happened that are detailed and recorded that we can prove are anomalous. But these stories, they're just... we can't prove. There's not enough. The only testimony are other people in this entertainment network. And you still see it happening today. But it doesn't, you can sort of apply the same sort of formula of what's going down to other prominent UFO leader influencers in the community. Yeah, I went down and, you know, I talked to a guy named Stephen Cambion because he was really covering this beat like nobody else. He was, every night for, I feel like, 2 years covering the Corey Good story and how the legal battles were going with all of his former coworkers at Gaia and so on and so forth. And so I said, look, this is a really interesting story. I don't want to be just covering one biased niche of the UFO community and the stories coming out of it. I want to be able to cover, you know, sociologically this sort of stuff too, because it is a bit of a cautionary tale for the rest of us. And I get dragged by so many people out there for covering this story and talking to Stephen Cambion in what you watched, the Cosmic Con. It's mostly Jay Widener, former head of production at Gaia TV, Leon Isaac Kennedy, former, star in Hollywood. Spoke to Jordan Sather, who was basically one of the people that was working for Corey Good and helped him make those documentaries when they left The Cosmic Secret and Above Majestic. The latest documentary I released, which is called The Next Generation, Dark Alliance, The Next Generation, I actually sit down with Stephen Cambion. I sit down with some of these secret space program guys like Tony Rodriguez, Chris O'Connor, and I get firsthand testimony of what they say they lived, and then we relate that to all the Corey Good fiasco and other people like Randy Kramer, who said he was a secret space program guy and that med beds are real. And he raised thousands of dollars to build a bed that looks like a tanning bed. You lay down in it and it takes away your cancer and repairs your body, like in Star Trek or Elysium or these other popular sci-fi films where people get rebuilt by technology. There's a problem with these people because they're selling these stories as absolutely true when there's no proof behind it. I mean, the even creepier thing that we present in the documentary is that Donald Trump's own social media platform, Truth Social, published late last year a medbed scam. They said that they were opening medbed hospitals across the United States and people would get a health card to cure their ailments. It quickly got deleted off their Truth Social platform. I think there's people that work within his social media camp that are nuts, and that's why that thing got published. The whole thing was produced with AI. You could see the AI slop face smears and all that stuff. And they had a fake Donald Trump making the announcement. But I think we're just trying to highlight that this stuff is so pervasive in the alt-right and in the mainstream now that, you know, I think it's creating psychosis and taking people down that path that, you know, may not end up in a good place long term.
Yeah, a lot of stuff just to bring up with you there then. So cards on the table. Long before I started the podcast, I found Andrew Basiaggio on YouTube. And I found him fascinating to listen to because I've mentioned him a few times on the podcast, but for those unfamiliar, he's a former lawyer who would, like you say, claim to have gone in these jump programs and the Montauk chair. He has time traveled. He has been to Mars and yes, indeed, with a young Barack Obama. He always sold that there was a timeline where he would become president. And he would claim it was going to be in 2012, but 2012 would come round and he would be like, the timeline changed and the date moved. And that's something we'll get to talking about, which is happening right now with some folks online. So he would claim things like that. For me, I would enjoy listening because he was an incredible speaker and he would never miss a beat. And I don't know if you ever watched much of Andrew Basiaggio, but like the guy could talk for like at a podium for 4 hours and just not stumble, and he would go and the story would be so eloquent and fluid and he could really draw you in. He was a wonderful speaker, well, I'll say that much. For me though, I could always say, wow, can you imagine, or like you say, what if this was true, wouldn't that be amazing? But in my head I'm going, yeah, this is almost definitely not true, and no, I won't be giving this guy money for his presidential campaign, which he almost guarantees me he will win. Something happened late on with him where he claimed to have gone blind, and I remember a social media manager would then make posts for him and say that Andrew's eyesight is failing, and you know, I hope Noel health to the guy. I don't know what happened with that, if he did legitimately go blind or it was another way to make money, insert your own theories in here. But that kind of stuff.
Oh, it was a fundraiser? Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was a way to make money for it and stuff, and that he would still be president one day, etc., etc. And listen, this day and age, I don't think you can eliminate anyone from becoming the US president anymore.
Sure.
The cult of personality is very much in vogue, and here we are. So for me, I could always distinguish, though, I feel, Darcy, that I believe this may be true. I think this sounds ridiculous, but could be true. This sounds ridiculous and is absolute fabrication, but I find it entertaining. But it's very clear there are factions and sections out there where people really struggle with that, and they take people at face value and they take these stories at face value. And Corey Good and David Wilcock clearly found a cash cow there. Wilcock hearing Good and knowing, like you say, he's got this show that... For me, and this happens with podcasts, with writers, with journalists and speakers and influencers, if they're selling bullshit, there comes a point where if it's not genuine, the lie runs out, and where can you go with that? So they keep adding to it and adding to it and adding to it.
Mm-hmm.
You get people who have a true UFO experience, and the experience is the experience. It happens, and that story gets told for 30 years and it doesn't change. Maybe small details here and there, but largely the story stays the same. And it's always a red flag for me when 5 years later, yes, but I never said this, or a Cody Good goes, actually, I had another 20 years. That's like Disney going, my God, the Star Wars movies are great, aren't they? Can we make another trilogy? Yeah, we've done that. Okay, now can we make the sequels to the prequels? And it just starts becoming a saga. That alternative, there's a real appetite in 2026, even more so than 2012 and 2020, for alternative media, alternative narrative. And I get there's folks listening to this, watching this, that enjoy the UFO content for information, for entertainment, for a mix of both. People just dipping a toe in. But then you do have people who believe everything. And my ask is only ever that you take a step back and just don't believe everything you hear. But these guys really went in on this and took advantage. And what blows my mind, not to jump forward too much, but Corey Good ends up having to give legal testimony around his story. And on camera, which again, you include, I've seen it before online, you include it in the documentary, on camera, has to admit that this is all his intellectual property. This is a story. And you can see that he's trying to say that he never made it up. I'm not going to go through and paraphrase everything. He's doing his best to leave some kind of wiggle room out of, short of saying it's all fake and nonsense. But he largely admits on camera, yeah, I made all this up. It's my property in my head. That doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it's still my story and you can't write about it and it's copyrighted, basically. Yet people still backed him, didn't they? People still gave this guy money. People still follow his story now.
They're still doing it. He just released a documentary through a Canadian producer, and he's saying, like, you know, all of it's real still, and now my family's part of it, and he's brought his, like, son and daughter and wife, and they're, you know, part of the team. So it's, I mean, it is what it is. People can believe whatever they want to believe. They can fund whatever they want to fund. I'm just offering a story to tell the other side of it. So, you know, it's a cautionary tale. Take it or leave it. It's funny when you bring up Andrew Basiago. I think where he finally crashed and burned was the Jesse Ventura show. If people go online, they can maybe find the clip where he goes to this house he claimed he lived when he was doing this, you know, secret space program and time travel stuff. And he's like, yeah, I grew up in that house. That's where they picked me up as a kid to do all these activities. And Jesse's crew go and knock on the door and say, hi, can we speak to the owner of this house? And this old lady walks out and is like, yes. And he's like, yeah, so this gentleman over here says that he grew up in this house. How long have you owned it? She's like, this has been in my family for over 100 years. So he was caught telling a lie right there. But, you know, it's his whole Project Pegasus thing enthralled me. And I kind of kept it in the periphery while I was looking through other stories. And, you know, eventually the Corey Good thing was going down. So I thought, let's document this. And when I originally set out to do the Cosmic Con, I wrote a treatment plan with the person that I was working on this with. And I said, you know, to finish the whole story, we have to tell, you know, all the other players and how this is still going on today.
Yep.
And that's why we did The Next Generation and spoke to people like Cambion and stuff. And it's like, you know, he's a controversial character. Some people don't like him. That's fine. But like what the value that he brings to arguing that this stuff is so dumb and so, you know, it's almost like a thought virus that's spreading to gullible people's minds, there is extreme value there, right? Because he's been covering this story for in depth like nobody else. And I'll talk to anybody. Like, I'm not owned. I'm very independent, you know, and I'm open to all sides of the story.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
I think you have to be, and I think that's a very fair way to approach it. I know I try and I'll present my opinion. I won't tell people what to think. I'll have guests on who may split opinion with their take and their interpretation. I've just had Timothy Alberino on, who has a very Christian background, talks about the Bible, interpretations of the Bible, various stories that he would link and say. And he's got a logic to it, that this X and Y and Z means that this part of the Bible is talking about an extraterrestrial encounter, talking about aliens, talking about spacecraft. And who's to argue that interpretation when there are so many other different interpretations? You have to let people make up their own mind. You in the first episode of Cosmic Con, you do mention Jason Sands towards the end of the episode, who Jason Sands I've interviewed on the podcast, really nice gentleman, very famously came out on X. He was named and is going to be in James Fox's The Program. Was it The Program? Yeah, I believe he was going to be in. And he wasn't meant to be named. He was named. There was a little faux pas where someone left the clip in with Jason Sands written on it, the clipper, like the old Hollywood snap thing.
Almost like viral marketing, no?
It worked out well. Jason Sands, though, goes on this X space on Twitter, or formerly known as Twitter, and shares this story over 2.5 hours of blue aliens, and some of it gets warped, doesn't it? And it's a long thread, and people ask him all kinds of questions from all different places. I'm not a fan of the old X spaces. I know people love them. Not for me. I don't like the format. I don't think it's conducive to a quality conversation, but each to their own. But I did wonder, given Jason Sands' incredible story, if David Grush, at the time he came out, had said the same thing, do you think David Grush ends up in front of Congress?
Can you just validate what the same thing is there?
So, yeah, if David Grush comes out on News Nation, let's say with Ross Coulthart, as he did, and he shares his story as I'm a whistleblower, et cetera, as we know the David Grush story, but he adds into that, I also encountered a bluish alien in the desert when their craft had broken down and landed. They approached me and asked me for a strange fuel. I said I didn't have it. They had a strange suit on. They went back to their craft and off they flew. Does David Grush end up in front of Congress 1 month later?
I think yes, because the thing about David Grush that made him so much stronger and, you know, taken seriously was the fact of his previous credentials. Like, we know that he was actually running that, it was the UAP, what was the research program that happened after ATIP? That
it was part of the task force.
The UAP task force.
He was in charge of the, I think I've just watched again for some stuff I'm doing the other day, his original interviews. And I think he said he was, and I'm sorry if I get this wrong, folks, but it was something like he worked for the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and he was in charge of the UAP task force portfolio or the UAP portfolio for that agency. It's something like that. I don't think he ends up there, but just for my two cents, but.
Okay, so for me, I say yes because, you know, people who are reporting on his story have checked his credentials. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did, you know, report to and brief presidents, check. Yes, he was working for the UAP task force under, what's his name? The guy under Strathen, right? And yes, you know, the UAP task force was tasked with trying to find these special access programs, so on and so forth, and find evidence that there's a cover-up within the intelligence and military communities regarding this phenomenon and, you know, reverse engineering and so on and so forth. I think because he already had all of those things, if he added to that, I met a blue alien, he would definitely be telling that in front of Congress. The thing with Jason Sands, the only reason we included him at the end of the first episode, his testimony, was the fact that when I asked him in that space why he was validating the 20 and back program that this other guy had asked previously about, he said, well, I served in something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of editing and covering that story. So yeah. Somebody brand new who's a whistleblower has come forward to validate that kind of, he has retracted since then and said, you know, I was trying to say that there's some kind of space program and off-world, you know, he's changed that. Yeah. And I actually spoke to him in person at a conference last year. Great guy, nice guy, right? Yep. I'm sure he's been through something, but you know, I was just worried about propagating basically a story that we know now is a con, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I included that testimony, that part of the story, and also the whistleblower phenomenon is still here and alive and well. And the whole thing that made Corey Good and David Wilcock rise to such prominence, fame, and fortune was because of the whistleblower phenomenon. It started with people like Andrew Basiago and Pete Peterson, who we covered in the first episode, right? Mm-hmm. Who said he was this didactic, like super genius that built secret machines for the US military and government and all that stuff. And none of that is proven. It was just somebody who spoke confidently and told a really interesting story, you know, and that's enough for a lot of people out there to go, woo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, for all we know, this guy just had a creative mind and was possibly on the spectrum. And from the stories from Corey, from Jay Widener, who was the producer trying to direct him on set at Gaia TV, it would seem to point to that he was also senile and maybe being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So, I think the whistleblower phenomenon is real. It's here to stay. There's varying qualities in the whistleblowers that have come forward and will continue to come forward. Look, William Neal McCasland, he's somebody who's gone missing, and all these other scientists that are related to these UFO programs, metamaterial programs that worked with him, they've gone missing.
Yeah.
And they're not talking publicly before that. Right? They're not like standing up at a podium at a UFO conference and saying, I'm important, and they've gone missing.
Yeah.
How come these guys that are showing up on podcasts and going to UFO conferences and selling books and all that stuff, how come they're not going missing?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And on that, I think it's a good place to bring in, you touch on this ecosystem that surrounds these individuals. And you mentioned Jimmy Church comes into it, and he is a really well-known guy. And for those listening, Darcy is smiling when I say that name. So he is a really well-known guy in the UFO community. He hosts all kinds of conferences in these big, luxurious spa centers hosting all kinds of names. Quite often, I'm a nobody in this topic, right? But I know some folks, and I look at some of these conferences and a list of 50 speakers, and I'll look and go, I know like three of these people. And that's not, maybe I'm just not that well read, or maybe I just don't know. But I look at some of these places and go, who the hell are all of these? And from, I suppose I can't say I'm on the outside because of what I do. So it just seems to me that there is this kind of self-congratulatory group who like to present each other with awards each year for best researcher ever and greatest host of the millennia. And you see clips in this of tables with your Jimmy Churches, with your Corey Goods, your David Wilcox, your Billy Carsons, people who make these really incredible, grandiose claims. And I wonder, are they either really naive? Are they just all in on it? What's your take on the system that they've managed to develop. Because I suppose if I was being really, really pessimistic about all of this, it looks like they're all in on it and making a fortune taking people and telling them, this is definitely true, listen to this, this incredible tale and story, but come and spend $1,000 to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get each other awards.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It is that way. And I mean, I'm going to speak at Contact and show a film this year, and I'm like the bottom of this entertainment UFO pyramid. Like, I am a nobody as well, trust me. The people that seem to be at the top are part of that congratulatory, what Stephen Cambion has called them on his show, SSP or UFO circle jerks, because they're busy with both hands keeping, you know, the other people in their group going, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then that person's doing the same thing on both sides and the other person on their side, you know, and it goes in a big circle. You see that happening on Twitter. You see it happening with massive YouTube channels. You see the pattern, you know. I like Joe Rogan. He is a force to be reckoned with, and he is a marketing multiplier, magnifier like we've never seen. He helped get Donald Trump into the presidency a second time, right? But then you look at other people that he hosts, like Billy Carson. And, you know, this is a Gaia-made man. And their voice and their prominence gets amplified, and you kind of go, oof, like, do we want to really platform some of these things that are being said that are going to lead us down this you know, tunnel of psychosis, right? It's going to take people into the wrong direction in terms of the conversation. And they all kind of do it. Like, the biggest podcasts don't really want to have me on because I'm going to say this stuff that's more controversial. You know, Julian Dory is probably the biggest guy that's let me speak in the public on their program. But like, you know, Joe and Jesse Michaels and Chris Ramsey and, you know, Concrete podcasts like Danny Jones and all them, they kind of swap each other, and it market amplifies their prominence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing happens with this Gaia Network crowd, and even the conferences are often behind the scenes put on by them, right? So you've got the Conscious Life Expo in LA, you've got all these SSP people that speak there. Like Ismael Perez, who said he's a super soldier and been in 20 and back. A lot of them don't like each other because they consider this theme or this story their territory. So, for example, in the new documentary, I talked to Tony Rodriguez about Corey Good. Corey Good hated him. And Corey Good's one of his biggest stories to this day is all these guys stole my IP, right? This is my story, and they're all telling it like it's their saga, their space saga. So there's the in crowd that takes part in the circle jerk and the marketing amplification of certain stories, and then there's like wars that go on between them.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a bit more vocal against the stuff that I'm skeptical about these days. I think I'm just at a point where, you know, you're kind of, you've peaked in terms of your interest of the real stuff. And now you're started looking at all this BS that continues to flood the zone, the conversation, and misinform people. So, you know, I've been vocal about the Nazca mummies, and I've gotten a lot of flack for that. And, you know, there's going to be all these bombshell stories that are going to come out in the future I think Will from Incredible History has done a great job of standing up against that cult of influence. And then, you know, there's just many more things that are flooding the zone, like a bugosphere or new whistleblowers that we're not quite sure whether they're just entering this entertainment spectrum or they actually have had real credible experiences. And that's, I think, the problem.
Yeah. I think, and do you know what, just to be fair, I watched Ross Coulthart interview Billy Carson a few weeks ago on News Nation, just because it was a little bit different to the type of person Ross normally has on there. I know he goes a little bit out there sometimes. I actually was surprised. I wasn't massively offended at what Billy Carson was saying, because he presented himself in a slightly different way to what I'm used to hearing in clips and on Gaia and on Jimmy Church. And when you get these people out of that bubble, that kind of, it's almost like a protection where we're in here. And I'm not saying that, listen, people can make up their own mind, but if they were all in it just to make money and keep each other's lies going, that's the way to do it. You close yourself off and you're in this self-fulfilling prophecy bubble of money-making, and we can keep each other right here. We can help propel each other. We can put each other on pedestals. We can make each other's stories sound important. We can back each other up. And when they don't have that protection, when they come outside of it, and like you say, I'm sure there is a lot of infighting and people wary of, I'm worried that this guy's going to come up and be the new star and I'll lose money and I'll lose fame and I won't be the keynote speaker at the next big conference. Rather than just being confident in your ability, you're telling the truth, your story, and share opinion. And to that point, I think Billy Carson, actually, a lot of what he said, he said phrases like, I think, or I believe, and that for me is much more palatable than often when you hear these people speak, I know, or this is how it is. And again, the worst for it is Stephen Greer, who is very much really derisory and so, I'm taking some blanks of some of the words I want to use here, but it's condescending the way he speaks.
He, I think, is leading a flock. I'm 100% convinced, and I've had his flock come after me because of my opinion that shared like yours. You know, it can't, we're in 2026, the age of information. It can't be trust me, bro, anymore. You have to provide the facts. You can't just say the bugosphere is carbon dated to 12,500 years ago. You can't carbon date metal.
So I followed up on that, if you want the additional. So, because I asked that question around how can you carbon date metal when it's not like an organic object? They've said they've taken the plant residue that is in the markings, and the plant residue, which is ingrained, is 12,600 years old.
So that's what they're claiming. That UFO has been flying for 12,500 years around the planet, and it just broke down in Colombia. And it's got plant residue from that many years ago. It never got washed off or, you know, what?
Well, I'm sure we'll find out the answers on, is it May 8th and 9th? So we'll touch on this. Stephen Greer has an event in Washington, D.C. You've mentioned the new whistleblowers. He's claiming there's going to be a new Green Beret coming forward. I know some folks are claiming online it may be a whistleblower who came out previously, potentially. But we don't know. We'll soon find out. What's your take then? We're talking about your Cody Goods, your David Wilcox. Is it safe to say, Darcy, you put Stephen Greer in that same frame of fabrication? Yeah. And I've said before, Stephen Greer is a guy who actually did have some good intentions very early on, maybe even had some really good sources. But I think he had to keep that going because the money came in.
Yep, I agree. I think, you know, I even followed him at first. I thought that a lot of the stuff he was adding to the conversation was a value, you know, hosting the original Disclosure Project and bringing forward quote unquote whistleblowers, right?
Yep.
A lot of people that were coming from different backgrounds. But it's like you said earlier in the show, you realize you have to keep this going. So you have to keep bringing new information forward that's not well vetted. And, you know, you can't just, you have to prove things. You can't just have people tell stories these days, especially when real people are going missing. And these quote unquote whistleblowers are, you know, getting paid $50 a pop for an online stream of their testimony. So I don't know. It's just, like you said, I'm with you. I agree that a lot of, there's got to be something real to this phenomenon, right? There's too many pictures, videos, and testimony to go with it. I think statements. I appreciate that Billy Carson would be doing something like that. The I know and I am the only truth is a real problem to me. And he is divisive, Dr. Greer. He's extremely warlike in his approach, which also concerns me because that is exactly what you would have a cult leader do, wage social media war on your behalf, whether that's on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or YouTube comments. You know, you're probably going to get a few from us having this conversation.
Yeah. And I have to ask you then in the same vein, right now, someone who is causing a lot of conversation online, let's word it that way, is Chris Bledsoe, who, and I've hosted Chris some time ago and his son Ryan on the podcast again back in the day. And they are very vocal online just now with their, obviously Chris Bledsoe is very much the orb guy. And with what's going on in the Middle East, he, and obviously the US is currently in Iran. My car costing £100 to fill up the other day will tell you that much still. They are claiming that a lot of what they have said is now coming true based on fireballs in the sky, orbs, quote unquote, you know.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Dismissing anyone who claims that many of their videos in the last couple of years have been space station, which people have shown timestamps, locations, satellites going overhead. What's your take on someone like a Chris Bledsoe and how they are currently operating and what they're claiming?
I've seen earlier interviews with him in his career where he failed lie detector tests that MUFON conducted about his story with the lady and all that. So I'm skeptical. I have met him at a contact in the desert in the past. I think he's a nice man. I think his family are nice people too. I think the whole Christian movement has beautiful people in it. And I think their brand is bringing that Christianity to a UFO conversation. And to me, that's very different from the way I think of the phenomenon. I look at it as a nuts and bolts scientific sort of phenomenon that we need to prove and validate. They're pushing the apparitions and the praying of, pray for the arrival of this non-human intelligence that is angels and there are no demons, which is also a red flag for me, because if you say that there's no exploitative force out there, you're literally building like a love and light cult, which has happened over and over in the past.
It's speaking in absolutes, which is what we both said we have an issue with, that whole, no, it's this and it's not any of that. And it's, if someone said to me, Darcy, if you came to me and emailed me and said, Andy, look, I've just had this incredible experience. I've seen an apparition that spoke to me. I've seen these incredible lights overhead. I believe I've got a message to spread. But everything else that you thought, is that's all a lie. It's all not true. Just listen to what I say. That's the immediate red flag for me, immediate no. And that's, I think that's what you're getting at, sorry.
Yeah, I am. I would probably say, hey, man, I love you. I believe what you are experiencing or you've lived. Let's get you to a mental hospital just to get that sort of thing checked out to see if you're not having some kind of psychotic break right
An
now.
An episode,
you know?
Yep,
and
yep.
then, yeah, episode, because this is a real phenomenon too. People lose their minds. But look, like your friend, Dan Zetterstrom, he had a battle with Ryan Bledsoe not too long ago online because yep. there was a FLIR video being posted by Ryan and the whole Bledsoe camp saying, this is a UFO we caught from one of our summoning sessions. And it was quite literally a bird flapping its wings. And when Dan said, well, that looks like a bird, mate, then the response was block, you know, yep. or like, F you in a nice way. I don't think he said F you, but like, well, you can be blocked or something. Because they were alluding to that being a winged orb, right? Yep. And there's no such thing. But there is such a thing as a winged orb in messianic paintings, Christian sort of Renaissance paintings and such. So that's where they can get away with that. Their flock can identify with that. Their flock is also Gaia TV, another one of these very prominent influencers that went over to Gaia TV, had a big show, and now they got that market multiplier and they have a huge audience. Mm. Same thing with Stephen Greer. It just keeps happening over and over, Andy. And with my series, trying to unpack that, you know, I'm trying to say, look, there are forces within this community that are very well backed financially, and they are amplifying these people that are spreading these stories that, you know, are how do we know it's not true, you know? And it's exploitative, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we're living in 2026 and people are fighting over this stuff rather than being, you know, I think even Jay Widener says, no one wants to admit that they're conned. Right. Mm-hmm. And for him, he believed he was like immersed in the 20 and back mythos. Well, he was producing it at Gaia TV. He wanted to believe it. He thought that these whistleblowers were credible. Then he started looking back once he left it, was suffering from cancer and fighting these legal battles with these newfound influencers in the community and social media battles. And he's like, wait a second, did I create a monster at Gaia TV? Did I amplify somebody I shouldn't have? And did I not vet them properly? I think vetting should be taken very seriously, right? Especially in this community, because we all want to believe, but when people aren't vetted credibly or properly, we're allowing this charade to go on. And so, you know, he starts looking at William Tompkins, who's a 90-year-old man that's validating the secret space program and reptilians being in league with the dark forces of the military intelligence community, enslaving us in a certain way. He's like, wait a second, maybe this guy was at the end of his life and was just having fun being, you know, the center of attention and lecturing at conferences. You know, there's a whole psychological phenomenon that we're missing here. People like attention. And then Pete Peterson, same thing, guy at the end of his life who's literally lost his mind, he's senile, and he's talking on television and at conferences. You know, so, and these are whistleblowers. That's how they were branded at Gaia TV. They would, or on these chat forums, they would call them insiders when they came out. That was the hot name at the time. Nowadays, it's whistleblowers because we're now deeply immersed in the Grush sort of side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think all this stuff should be examined. The Bledsoes are good people. I think they mean well. They probably have experienced the phenomenon. They have seen UFOs and maybe had real experiences, but they've effectively created this whole brand and they've had that beautiful market multiplier effect from Gaia TV. And they are now at like this all-time fame. I think Chris Bledsoe's even been on Joe Rogan, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the next multiplier. He's been on Danny Jones. He's been on, you know, all these other things. My friend Julian Dory, he refuses to propagate this stuff anymore. He will not have these people on that he thinks are talking shit. Mm. I've spoken to him recently. He's like, I'm not doing the UFO thing, dude. I've been begged recently by certain people in the community to let me come on and tell their story. Mm. But he's like, I just won't do it. He's covering the Epstein files.
So I think there's a point in, I think, psychology where you find your tribe. I remember reading about many, many years ago or being taught about this. And I think so much in 2026, this is where we are, where folks gravitate to a group that aligns with their thinking. It may be they've gone through similar trauma. It may be that they have a similar, you know, like, maybe they have similar dislikes. If you look at the debunker community, for example, that you just gravitate to groups of people that are similar in ways of your thinking. And I think at this point, we're in a place where the truth doesn't really matter anymore, because people are happy to go with what they believe is the truth and they can filter this out. And human beings have always done that. For me, religion does that a lot, to be honest, because my religion's correct, but your religion's not. They're both very similar, but mine says this, this, and this, and that's not what yours says. So, yeah, I think when it comes to like UFOs or anything else, you've got people who are going to believe what they believe, and you probably can't convince them otherwise. And again, going back to talk about, you know, Dark Alliance, Inside Story of the Cosmic Con, Corey Good told this story that some folks believed to be true, some folks wanted to be true, some folks didn't believe. Even when he came out and said, this is all intellectual property, it's a fabrication, it's a story, there were still folks who believed that that wasn't the case and he was telling the truth because they didn't want to believe that. And I think that's what we see across a lot of different sections now in society. And I think a lot of folks listening to this and watching this podcast like it because of the narratives and the way things are put across, the way guests speak, and you're allowed to kind of make up your own mind. And I wonder, before we head off, Darcy, a couple of things I want to get your opinion on. There is another documentary coming out in the next couple of days, the 3rd of April, S4, the Bob Lazar story. Now, I believe it's not necessarily focusing on Bob as such, but as a recreation of the facility, S4, Groom Lake, where Bob says he worked, where he operated on the sports model, UFO. It's going to be a recreation, and I do believe there are some new bits of information or at least expansions on the Bob Lazar story. Bob is going to be on Joe Rogan in the next couple of days. That'll be huge. That's the best advertising you can get, I think, these days. If it can get you in the White House, it's going to get you top of the charts, no matter what platform you're on as well. So what's your take on what we might expect from this documentary, and are you going to be watching it?
I am going to be watching it. I watch most of this stuff when it comes out. I've seen Age of Disclosure. I think there's definitely truth. This is like the first guy to talk about a legacy reverse engineering program, right? And now everybody's talking about special access programs, and it's still a thing, you know? Mm. It would make sense that there was some kind of endeavor to reverse engineer a technology that's much better than ours, right?
Yeah.
Every military and intelligence community around the world does it to each other. You know, if a craft crashes from the Americans in Russian or Chinese territory somehow, they're capturing it and seeing what it's all about and exploiting it if they can. Where they have spies that live within the complex, that work within the complex and steal that information to reverse engineer it back in, you know, the country they're allied with.
Mm-hmm.
This is all real. If the UFO phenomenon is real and we have recovered crash craft, I believe, or recovered intact craft, like Bob Lazar's story, I think this is a real phenomenon. And I want to see what else is going to be said, you know, that Jeremy Corbell's story didn't cover. He's also controversial. There, you know, everybody doesn't have a perfect past, right? I don't, you don't, we all make mistakes. I've heard people try to debunk his past because of issues he's went through with an ex-wife. And how he, or people claim that he was running a brothel at the time that he got pulled up on TV, as Damien making this proclamation that he worked at a reverse engineering program for the American military industrial complex. It seems logical that, yeah, you would want to throw off maybe some guys that were coming after you to kill you because you worked at this brothel and finances went wrong. So now you're on TV, can't really hit that guy. But there were a lot of things that lined up. I spoke to Jim Goodall, who worked on telemetry systems for the A-12 Blackbird CIA version of the SR-71, which was a top secret, you know, black budget craft to do reconnaissance and special flight missions over enemy territory, really fast ones. And he said he saw the W-2, which is like the pay stub form that Bob Lazar had when he worked at the Tonopah test range at this S-4 facility. And when he took that form, that documented evidence, to a Navy guy that he knew, he showed it to him and said, can you bring up any more documentation about this guy? And that guy said, hey, you're never to discuss this person or ask me for their information ever again. And he put that through a shredder right in front of Jim Goodall. So I think there is such a thing as sheep dipping, where we try to erase people's credentials and background. So if they do go public in the future, you know, they can't fully validate their story. I think that might have happened with Bob Lazar. And I think, you know, what if he really had worked on a program trying to reverse engineer the sports model, or at least test out its capabilities?
Yeah, I look forward to watching that on the 3rd of April. And Luigi Venditelli will be coming on the podcast in the few days after it to chat through. Once I've done Rogan, I'll let him get the small podcast out the way first, then he can join me in the conversation. And then finally, in a couple of months' time, we have Disclosure Day from Steven Spielberg, which has got a lot of people talking, a lot of people very excited. Really looking forward to the movie coming out. I saw the trailer again in IMAX the other day when I went to see Project Hail Mary. Looks incredible, looks big, sounds big. What's your thoughts on that?
I've listened to Steven Spielberg speak publicly for, you know, decades now, and he has talked about this film. It is not a documentary. It is not supposed to be written as fact. A lot of people in the UFO community are getting carried away with it and think that this is Disclosure, but in a Hollywood film. It's not. But I'm going to go see it because it's going to have themes in there that have been part of the UFO mythos and community for decades. I'm not even quite sure that he's presenting aliens in this. I'm convinced it might be like future humans or something like that. but you know, like time travelers that have invaded our timeline or something like that. I don't know. But it could be aliens. And I'm open to that too. I think it's going to be really entertaining, and it's going to be the number one topic in the month of June, because everybody's going to be talking about it, and it's going to amplify all of these influencers we're talking about tonight or today, whenever you publish this, and it's going to amplify realities of the UFO subject that have, you know, possibly not seen as much attention. So I'm excited for all of it, because it's just going to be a social phenomenon to behold.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting summer. Like you say, in the coming days, the Bob Lazar documentary. We've then got Stephen Greer's event in May. June has Spielberg's documentary. July might have President Trump's speech on disclosure, if you're to believe certain individuals online who have been slaughtered recently. And then Diana Pasulka's book, I'll just give a shout out, is out in August, which I'm really looking forward to. The others, I think it's going to be an interesting year. And then with all the stuff going on politically in the background as well. But Darcy, in the meantime, if people are looking for content to watch and they want to check out either the UFO Review podcast that we've not even spoken about, if you want to sign off chatting about that very quickly, how people can listen to it, and then obviously how people can watch the documentaries too.
Yeah, I have an audio version of UFO Review that's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Spreaker and such. I just did the first video version of that with Jason Guilmette from UAP Studies and my friend Digby Furneaux. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and do a panel. I'd love for you to come on too at the end of every month and cover all of the news that has come out of the UFO community. So with this recent episode, which is actually the fifth via audio, but the first in video form, we cover Mark Christopher King's proclamations, mm-hmm. and how that had its fallout with George Knapp. We have the Bledsoe controversy. We have William Neal McCasland going missing and all those guys. We cover Greer's Bugosphere conference, and we cover a lot, like even just the Trump administration's claims that they're going to bring forward UFO files and stuff. So just like your podcast, we're just presenting as much detail and our opinions, but keeping it open for people to make up their own mind. And you can check that out on YouTube at Occult Journeys or Twitter at Occult Journeys. And I'm on Instagram, Darcy Weir Films, as well.
I'll put all those links in the description. And of course, for any of the documentaries, if you got the link, is it a Linktree link or a Genius link in your bio?
Yeah, I don't have a Genius link, but I'll drop you a couple links for people to watch. You can watch Cosmic Con for free on Tubi TV in most parts of the world, or Amazon Prime. It's free in the UK if you have a Prime membership. And then the newest one, which is brand new, it's on Apple TV, but also on Fossum. So you can watch it on Fossum in the US. And globally on Apple TV at this point, hoping it'll come to Tubi and a bunch of other platforms soon.
Awesome. Darcy, always great to speak. Happy to take you up on your invite as well when you want me on the podcast. My fee is incredibly reasonable. Several thousand dollars paid to a Gaia account. No, it's not. Don't know if that's legally I'm allowed to say that, but yeah, just joking. But listen, Darcy, always a pleasure, mate. Look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Andy. Likewise.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.